Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead. Download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you so much for checking out this series, and especially if you're a subscriber. If you're not, go ahead and hit that subscribe button before we get started. It's an interview series that allows you to keep up with all of your favorite artists, discover some new ones, and know what's happening in the music world. Brand new interviews delivered every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So find us at all the major spots like iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Kyle Meredith, and today I'm going to be talking with Leanne LaHavis. She's got her new record, the self-titled LP that she calls her truest self. That's for her taking back a lot of artistic control, and she's going to be telling us all about that, writing with her writing partner, Matt Hales. Now, this is also her first album in like 5 years, so we're going to talk about the way a song's meaning changes when written over a long period of time. She's also been covering Radiohead's Weird Fishes throughout the years, and it's finally got its own studio version on this album. So within a concept album, I want to know what it says within that concept, being the lone cover in the track list. Along with that, we'll hear about the importance of mood, taking some inspiration from the 70s, and much more. Let's get into it. It's Kyle Meredith with Leanne LaHavis.
Hello.
I'll start off with the compliments because you knocked it out of the park with this record. It's so good, and we have not been able to stop listening to it around here. You've said a lot of things about this record, and one of the things I think that jumps out right away is you've called this your truest album for having the control that you've had going into this one that maybe wasn't there before.
Yeah.
What did you have to change about your process to get here? Was it a different way of actually writing, or just a different way of approaching the recording process?
It's a few things. So I guess I had never really settled into any particular way of writing, because for me, everything seemed to always be happening so fast, and I was going along with loads of things and found myself in lots of different situations where it was just because I was going along with things, and I was a lot younger and I'd just been signed, and, you know, people just kind of told me I could sing. So then that automatically meant that I've got to go and co-write with loads of strangers and make a hit song in a day and all these things. And I was thinking, this is totally weird, but I'll do it, you know, because I'd like to be a singer. So over the years, basically, I realized that I didn't want to do things that way. And I realized I'd rather that I wanted to, I think that I can get the most out of myself when I feel really comfortable in a situation. So for me, that meant to work with people that I know and love already. So I've got the previous process to thank for me meeting the people I know and love. And also having the confidence to reach out to people myself that I didn't know necessarily, but I, you know, had established myself somewhat by the point where I was making the third album. So I thought, you know what, I could just reach out on Instagram or Twitter or something to work with people that I want to work with. So I started to write in a kind of more relaxed way where it actually felt pleasurable, didn't feel like I was doing it as a job, didn't feel like it was work, and I'm working with my friends. And so I think that's the main difference, is that I was doing it when I wanted to do it with the people I wanted to do it with.
Because it's supposed to be fun. It's not, you know,
yeah.
We work in the toy store. We work in the toy department here. So it's
exactly. You don't want to take the fun out of something so phenomenal as writing music and making stuff and doing that. It just should feel pleasurable, you know.
And still, though, to be, you know, tackling heavy subjects within your own life, like you're, as you told the story, it is a bit of a concept record in that it tells the arc of a relationship that you had in the past. You are still working with some co-writers, as I see in the credit, and as you say, and you know, the difference is people that you know and trust here. I'm always interested in that, though, because when you're talking, when you're trying to tell a story that is extremely personal to you, how much do you let in from someone else's opinion when you're writing with them? I mean, is that the part where you have to let go of part of your story, or are they just giving more ideas?
Yeah, never letting go of any part of my story ever again. I have done that, and it's always been like, oh, wish I could have done that bit the way I really wanted to do it. And then you don't regret it, you know, you don't want to change anything because you did it the way you wanted to do it in the first place. However, I only write lyrics by myself or with one person, and that's Matt Hales. That's the only way I want to do it, basically. I worked with him for almost a decade, maybe over a decade now, and we're like family, and he knows everything about my life and I know everything about his. We're very, very close, so he is the only like person it seems safe to share lyrics with. Other than that, yeah, I just do it myself. And I write music with other people. I collaborate with, you know, different types of instrumentalists. Like everyone else that's worked on this album basically is either like a pianist, a bass player, a drummer, or a producer. So it's, yeah, more musical collaboration, but definitely lyrics. I can't do that anymore.
I think I always appreciate knowing that, especially when you're hearing something like that you've put out, that it really just comes from that specific point.
Yes.
And then the other side of this, you know, to tell that story and knowing that you've recorded a lot of these songs over a longer period of time than maybe, you know, you would have in the past or something. You know, I think the number is 5 years between records, for whatever that means. Mm-hmm. Did you ever notice if your perceptions of the past that you were writing about were changing in any way, like the way you viewed a specific moment, one song was already changing before the song was completed?
Yes, actually. It is, because some of the stuff, like the song I just thought of then was Please Don't Make Me Cry. That song was done in two sittings, let's say. The first part was the chorus that was written, and the music was all written. And where I was at when the chorus was written was very different to where I was at when the verses were written. So it's like I had to have that time in between for the chorus to make sense. Mm. I remember thinking, like, because I did a version of it with that chorus before the verses you hear. I did a version with different lyrics, and it just wasn't right. It wasn't how I was feeling, and it wasn't, I tried to make it match exactly the chorus in a very literal way, but I had to change it because the concept wasn't quite right. So it needed a few months in between for the concept to make sense. And then, yeah, I felt much better about it after I did that. So yeah, definitely all the songs, I think, in some way have evolved, apart from one which was written in like a day, which is Seven Times. That was all in the moment, which is why I think it's my favorite.
That's a powerful moment on there.
Thanks.
It does. It stands out. And of course, one of the other moments of interest is right in the smack in the middle of the record, you actually use a cover. This amazing rendition of Radiohead's Weird Fishes that I know you've been doing for a little while. It's so good. How does that fit in the story? Like, what does the song say within the set?
The lyrics resonated with me a lot. I'm not certain what Tom York is talking about exactly, but the way it hit me was, you know, the idea of sinking away into the abyss or escaping, you know, that feeling of escape and having the chance to leave. He said everybody leaves if they get the chance, and this is my chance. So for me, that was like, says it all. Then I don't need to write a breakup song. That's basically the point where that all happens, and I didn't have to say it myself. I could easily look to Thom Yorke to say it for me.
So that's the pivot point. That's where everything kind of changes right there.
Yeah, that's why it's in the middle.
The mood you give off in that, like, that song originally always had such a mood to it, and I think it's really difficult to add anything to a lot of covers, especially when you're talking about Radiohead, to something new to a song like that. I mean, that's sort of paramount right there.
Yeah.
How important is mood for you in these moments? Is that part of the conversation?
Mood is very important. I feel like that inspires you to write whatever you do end up writing. It's like the sound of it, the mood of it. It takes you to that place in your brain where you can then articulate it in words. So I think this album particularly, I was able to have the space and the time to actually make stuff with feeling, so that when I wrote on top of it, it wasn't like you're just writing on top of some music. It was like the music already had a personality, and then I was just putting words to it.
And there's so many interesting variations in there, because you do get the darkness of that. You get the little, I'm forgetting the genre. I want to say samba guitar, but I don't think that's right. It's definitely almost that South American vibe to it on the guitar.
Yeah, definitely. Some of my favorite music is from that part of the world.
You've talked a lot about even like taking inspiration from the 70s, which, you know, to each decade their own and everything. But I feel like that's not one that gets brought up a lot, because there is, I mean, what do you take from that decade specifically? What's the vibe that you get that you liked so, you know, to take?
I just think it was a golden age or golden era of recording. I think they reached an amazing point with the equipment that was available to people. And then it was still quite traditional though, because you were using a lot of live bands still, and you still needed live musicians. But something about the advancement of the quality and tape, and just, so you still got the intention and the tangible feeling that it's live, but then you've got this beautiful analog quality that's advanced at that point. And I just really love that. I really wanted always, actually, my whole life, to do a live album, you know? And whenever I would make stuff with a loop, you know, do those things that had looped beats and very, you know, produced and sampled type of things, I absolutely love that. But I always want to add real drums anyway. You know, I always want to keep something about it to chance and keep something less neat, you know, like less on the grid. So that's what I really wanted to capture for my own thing. And I think my style is always, I feel like I do a lot of songs that start off quiet and then they end loud. And I feel like you need live musicians to have the dynamic.
I'll ask actually about the end of the record, because as you consider the entire story that you're trying to tell and the arc of it, was it important to have a specific ending? And I want to say even beyond just for you, but for the character that we're hearing in the song, for her to end up in, like, I think of it as a movie, you know, and you have the big Hollywood ending, that's a big happy ending, but maybe the indie movie, you know, it's sort of just kind of, you know, lets you have your own opinion, I guess. What was it for you?
Yeah, it's to be continued kind of ending. It's definitely the end, but it's also, conceptually, I left the long bit at the end to illustrate or symbolize the ongoing work it takes to heal yourself, or to, you know, walk away, or to have the self-care, to continue to care for yourself. So that's why I left it long at the end. But interestingly, as soon as I wrote the music for that track, I didn't even write the words yet. Like, I knew it was going to be the last track. I was like, this sounds like track 10. Yeah. And I knew I wanted 10. And I was like, yep, this is the end. Because of where I was at in my head, I had walked away. We didn't know that it was going to have the long jam section at the end until we did it live. And at that time, when we recorded it live, I realized I was still very much working on feeling better and working on myself. And I was I was kind of in a state. I was up and down, and I was like, it absolutely makes sense for this to be like an ongoing, to be continued kind of ending, you know.
If you're always writing autobiographical, I suppose it's always in a way to be continued.
Exactly.
In that sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't wait to hear that track live myself. And I know we're probably a little ways away from everybody being able to do that in earnest. And this definitely seems like the perfect record for that type of setting. So I know I'm looking forward to that. Leanne, thank you so much for the work you've done on this. And thank you for the conversation today, too.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been lovely. Thank you for asking about it and stuff.
Yeah, anytime. We'll see you.
Bye.
My thanks, Leanne LaHavis. The new self-titled record is out now. Thanks to you as well for checking out this episode. Again, before you get out of here, I do hope if you enjoyed what you heard that you're going to hit that subscribe button. Keep up with all your favorite artists. Discover some new ones. Know what's happening in the music world. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere you get your favorite podcasts from. Just type in Kyle Meredith With. We'll bring you a brand new episode every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. After that, head on over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews. Again, that's WFPK.org, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can find me on the social media spots as well, at Kyle Meredith. Hope to see you following and liking along over there. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I'm going to have a small glass of red wine. It's wine time.
I'm Lior Phillips, host of This Must Be The Gig. We're a weekly podcast that documents everything about the world of live music. Speaking with choreographers, costume and set designers, the people who run beloved venues and festivals, and, of course, speaking with musicians about that one gig that changed their lives. Get your peek behind the curtain at consequenceofsound.net, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.